Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Oh, hell, Ricky, I was high when I said that.
But that doesn't make any sense at all.
First, you're last. You can be second, you can be third, fourth, hell, you can be fifth.
What are you talking about? I live my whole life based on that.
My crew was taking over as soon as we hit the door. You hit the door, but we coming in and you going home. Because they know running avenue, soldiers always down wherever we go. Chugging on our 40s and holding our 44s. We coming toasters like we just opened savings and loans. And we don't need your brew tonight, homie. We brought our own. So grab whatever you sipping on and let's get it on.
Is you rolling? Is you rolling? Is you rolling? Is you rolling?
Wish I might be. Wish I might be. Wish I might be. Wish I might be.
I don't give a fuck about your faults or mishaps, nigga. We from the Bronx, New York, shit happens. Kids clapping, blood is spark the place. Half the niggas in the squad got a scar on their face. It's a cold world and this is ice. Half a meal for the charm, nigga, this is life. Got the phantom in front of the building, Trinity, yeah. 10 years, been legit, they still figure me bad. As a young, was too much to cope with. Why you think motherfuckers nicknamed the cook, cook shit? Should've been called non-robbery. Starship, or maybe grand larceny. I did it all, I put the pieces to the puzzle. Just as long, I knew me and my people was gonna bubble. Came out the gate on some flojo shit. Fat nigga with the shotty was the logo kid. Said my niggas still dance, we just pull up our pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back. Come on. I said my niggas don't dance, we just pull up our pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back. Lean back, come on, come on, lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back, come on, come on, lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back.
Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge, I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and tango. A certain old friend to see the lost percent. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get up, but she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. What's up, you guys? It is So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan Bailey. This is your Monday episode. I hope you guys had the best weekend ever. I have an allergic reaction on my face right now. It's always something with me, isn't it? It's always something. You'll hear a little bit more about that when we get into our Sophie pop culture roundup, which I think we're going to get to. I don't think I'm going to do much talking here because I got all week with you guys and I'm sincerely itching my face completely off. I have to get new headshots and my beard is becoming so white in certain areas. And so I had my beard dyed a little bit, and I'm having a chemical reaction to the beard dye. Because, of course, so now I've been scratching my face off for the last day, and I want to take Benadryl and go to bed because I'm at that age where you take Benadryl when you have itchies. I hope you guys, like I said, had a great weekend. Let's see. This was interesting. I finally decided to do something about this. I don't know if, like you guys, if you had COVID like I did, like over a year and a month ago, I still have not fully regained my sense of smell. And I have a good sense of humor about it. I don't need to smell that bad. But I miss some smells, and I smell new weird things that never existed. And I want to stop all of that. And it's been a year. So I put a thing on Instagram, and I'm going to, I think, put something in my highlight reel of all the great answers I've gotten. But a lot of things have been telling me to do smell training. So I got aromatherapy, like rosemary and peppermint and eucalyptus. And it's like trying to retrain my nose how to smell things. What a bizarre world we live in. If you guys had anything like this happen to you, please let me know if you found anything that worked. I remember I got my taste back like 2 weeks after I had COVID. Some people can argue I've never had taste, LOL, but I got it back by doing this like TikTok hack where you burn an orange on the grill and then you cut it, you put like, it was like brown sugar and this thing, and you mix it all up and then you're supposed to eat it all. And then an hour later, you're supposed to taste like mustard and see if it worked. And I shit you not, guys, it worked. Yeah. Also, TikTok's a dangerous thing. I just ordered this, like I'm fully turning into a grandmother or something. I ordered this little vacuum cleaner for crumbs, like because I have like little beard hairs on the, and it's like this is supposed to, it's like a little guy, and it's supposed to like pick up crumbs and little hairs. And like I would have laughed at somebody that would have ever been fixated or fascinated with that product. And then it was like $18 on Amazon, and I was like, you've earned this. Like, and I'm kind of really excited about it coming. And I also bought magnesium pills because TikTok told me to, because it said it would help you have a better sleep. I literally am the thing that I make fun of. It is so weird to get older, folks. Also, I had a conversation on the Patreon with Meditza where we had like a 2-hour Real Housewives of Miami recap. But like the first hour, we just, what we call shoot the shit, because Meditza is one of my really good friends and has been for years. And I was talking about, I was being very honest about, I told you guys this as well, was I went from Lexapro to Prozac recently through a psychiatrist because I was getting, I was getting to a point where I was getting depressed. I was able to work through, I was still able to do the podcast and stuff, but I didn't feel very good in my life. And that could be for a variety of reasons, but if you have the means, if you have insurance, I figured why not? I was scared to do it. And I also thought I might possibly have ADHD because my concentration on this is okay, but it still takes so much for me to get things done anymore. And I had read an article that I was like, this makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe this is ADHD. And now I went to a psychiatrist, is what you do because you want to do this in a safe way. And I told him all of this stuff and he didn't think I had ADHD, but you know, we're working together for a couple of months and he put me on Prozac. And it's been going okay. I had a couple bad days the first month where I just felt really low and very sad. It was just very sad. And I tell this to all of you guys because it's nothing to be ashamed of. It is something that we can joke about and laugh about. And, you know, always, you know, I have you guys. I have friends like you have me. You have friends. So always do something that is going to put your best foot forward, even though I can sometimes want to, listen to the negative voice in my head or like say, oh, you don't need to, you know, you're never going to succeed or something, you know, just really low talking. And it doesn't have to be like that. We can try to make things better. And it's so hard to try. I get it. Believe me, I get it. Anything from working out, anything good that's going to help you is hard to do. That's just the reality of it. But we had this conversation and Meditza was very blunt that she did not think I had ADHD. Now, Meditza is like a sister to me. We talk all the time. We talk and we are very frank with each other and we'll have these conversations on the podcast, but we'll also have these conversations off the podcast. Now, we tease each other like brothers and sisters. And I unfortunately, I did a couple podcasts today. I did a great 3-hour one about the real world over on a deep dive with Jamie Stein with Taria Faison and Jamie. And I think that'll be out this week. And that was great, but it was like 3 hours. It was really long. And then I had to do this with Sophie. And I didn't get to see. We had posted this 2-hour Miami recap, but we had talked about this mental health things. And people thought, you know, because they love me, is that they thought Mediza was being unfair or unkind to me in a certain way and not potentially listening. I did not take any offense to it, but I was reading through these comments and it was wild. But that I just wanted to say to you guys that that I'm pretty sure that all my friends love me and have my best interests at heart. And the friends that I don't believe are like that pretty much aren't my friends anymore. But also I wanted to tell you guys is that, you know, hearing somebody say that you don't have ADHD or something, it's, you know, learning about yourself is a process that I think is going to take my entire life. And I don't know if you guys feel that way about your own lives, but it's okay. It's kind of like a little adventure and you chip away each day. You get a little bit more. Sometimes you get a little bit less and then you get it. And hopefully you can carve out some kind of decent life that you're proud of and you can have a basic understanding of happiness at some point. And I think that's what I'm trying to do. And so it is discouraging at times, but I have had the best conversations about mental health with you guys, with my friends. You know, there's been a times when I, years ago, where I was scared to make any kind of step. And now I try to look at it as like this exploration and I am scared, but it's one of those things where, you know, if you do it the right way, if you do it the safe way, you can kind of see little improvements or things that aren't as great. And you just have to be honest with your licensed psychiatrist or anything. So I just wanted to share that story because I don't, you guys probably have this more figured out than I do. But if you don't ever be worried about telling people how you're feeling. Don't ever be worried about telling your friends or a professional or your family or me or anybody, because that, you know, the whole point is to like fucking rock it, you know, like we want to have a good time. We want to be at Puka de Beppo together, partying our balls off in a very mentally healthy way. So we've got to get there together. I always tell you guys these things because it makes it feel real for me if I tell you guys. So that's where I'm at in terms of my mental health, because we had just had this conversation on the Patreon and I felt that I should share that with you because I do get that question a lot of times in my DMs about how I'm doing. And that is how I'm doing. And I had said this on the Patreon, but I had said, Leah McSweeney, actually, wildly enough, she follows me now, which is wild. You know how big of a crush I had on her the first season. And I didn't really like her on the second season of New York, which is all right. We've got to, you know, we got to normalize disliking housewives one season and then liking them the next. It's like pro wrestling, like I always say. But I had posted something about seeing a psychiatrist or something. And I tell you what, Leah McSweeney has checked in on me a couple of times. And that was like kind of mind-blowing to me because it was just like kind of a really caring human thing to do. And it wasn't something that I'd asked her to do. It wasn't something – it was just really nice. And I thought that was cool. So I wanted to – I think I actually tell that story in the podcast with Sophie today. You guys, that's the other thing. I talk so much now. Like if I'm either like – guest star. Oh, I guest starred on Diana Gebbia's podcast. You can find that Diana Gebbia on her Instagram or just type it in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we had the best time talking about all these shows. That was on Friday. But sometimes I forget who I say things to who, like, or if I, like, I have this feeling constantly of like, where did I hear that? Or where did I say it? I don't know if I said it on my podcast. I don't know if I said it in my real life. It gets really confusing. So I apologize if I do tell the same story sometimes. It's just really hard to catalog everything or every story or, you know, everything I've said on this thing. My Benadryl is kicking in, you guys, so I don't know if I'm even making sense anymore. I hope you guys were with me on that one. Once again, I thought we had a great week last week in terms of podcasting. 5 solid episodes. Friday's Real Housewives of Orange County, I don't know if you guys even realized that came out, but that came out a couple hours later than it was supposed to because your boy forgot to hit publish on the page. So that was amazing. But that's out there if you need my thoughts on And Just Like That and Real Housewives of Orange County, even though me and Sophie get into a lot of And Just Like That in this episode. But this goes all around, you guys. This delves into the Kanye Kim situation that happened this weekend, which is so, so unfortunate. And it really, really angers me in a lot of ways. Oh, and guys, I watched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City tonight. If you haven't, you've got to see it. Next week is the final episode. Thank God I'm exhausted. But I keep thinking it's going to chill out. And this episode was just as intense. And there were scenes. There was this one scene, you guys, with Meredith, Mary, and Jenny sitting at a table and Zion waiting to go home. And they have this weird music behind it. And I shit you not, it's like a David Lynch movie. It's like Twin Peaks. It is so eerie. And Meredith is becoming like a full, it's like an old-time movie star, or it's weird. It's like a cross between Christopher Guest movies, who did like, you know, Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show. Like some of the cast is like that, but it's some of the cast, like Meredith, is like full soap opera, and like she'll give a hard stare. There was one stare when she was having a stare down with Whitney, and I shit you not, I thought she was like looking at me through the TV screen, and I got really nervous. And Lisa Barlow, man, Lisa Barlow comes out and it's just screaming. Like, I don't even know if she knows what she's screaming about half the time, but she's like, ah, really amazing stuff. And Mary, all of it. And also we go to Mary's church. Jen Shaw goes to Mary's church. I mean, here, listen, Mary Cosby might be considered a great preacher, but what I saw tonight, it's like a lot of screeching of like, it's like she doesn't have a strong preacher voice. And I'm not trying to discriminate against women in any sort of way. I've heard women preachers that are amazing. But Mary's voice is just, it's a little shrill on the ears. Do you guys feel that as way? Feel that as well? I was just like, okay, well, I'm not that impressed. I really am not that impressed. Glad I shared that with you guys. It makes it real when I share it with you guys. This week is going to be great, you guys. I have a lot of great interviews coming up, a lot of fun stuff. I hope you are still with me and enjoying this. Like anything, if you do enjoy it, bring your friends in on this jam, man. Let's get this going. Oh, also, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I think I'm going to be popping up at a live podcast. Well, I'll tell you guys as soon as I can tell you. But thank you for supporting this. Let's keep this growing. And that's it. I'm getting a little dizzy from the Benadryl. So we are going to go right into our Monday co-host, Sophie Ross, with our Pop Culture Roundup. Here she is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Monday episode of So Bad It's Good. We are doing it all over again this week. We hope it is the best week for you ever. And we want to start your weekend or your week off right. We start it on Monday, as always, with the Pop Culture Roundup. There is so much stuff going on in the world right now, especially in pop culture. We're going to cover it all today with some Bravo shows as well. And we do that with the genius, the madness and the genius of Sophie Ross. Sophie, welcome to the show. From the twisted mind of the producer of
M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan's.
Wait, what? So actually I'm thinking about that because I was actually in a Philly suburb this weekend, just having a nice relaxing weekend with my boyfriend and his family. And M. Night Shyamalan is from their town and his house is like right there. And we drove past it and I was recalling all of my M. Night Shyamalan moments that I love.
I still haven't seen that movie where you go to the beach and get old.
Oh yeah. Wait, we weren't even talking about, I was talking about The Visit, which me and my friends called Grandma's House. The one.
Did you ever
see that one?
Yeah, of course.
That was a great one. And also Split was one of the scariest.
Split was good. Yeah. But then there was one, the one with Mark Wahlberg that M. Night Shyamalan did called like The Changing, and it was about
the happening.
And it was so bad.
Like, Changing.
It was like so bad. It was like the wind is angry. It's like Earth is angry at us.
And yeah, that so one and Lady in the Water.
Oh yeah, Paul Giamatti and Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah. God, I can't believe it's been like 20 plus years since that Sixth Sense movie came out that he like blew up on of like, I see dead people. And I didn't really think I'd be talking about M. Night Shyamalan today, but he really has made a cottage industry of mediocre kind of Twilight Zone films now.
He's like so hit or miss.
He really is. And he does some TV show on Apple TV called The Servant, I think. Oh, it's on its like third season. Oh,
God. It's probably freaking terrible.
This is going to be a full hour of M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan highlights. I can't believe you don't have M. Night Shyamalan in your show notes today.
M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah, no, I do not. No, that was in, I was planning on doing that in March.
You were going to do an M. Night Shyamalan recap this week.
Also, Sophia, I got to point out to you real quick, and all the people at home can't see this, but I have to get new headshots soon. And I dyed my beard yesterday and I'm having
I was going to say you look different, but I'm
naked right now. I'm having an allergic reaction and my face is so itchy and so red and it is so dark, my beard. Cause I was like, it's like starting to get like super white and it's like embarrassing. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll dye it a little bit. It'll be salt and pepper. And now it's like fully almost black, but then the skin underneath the beard is fully red because I can't stop scratching the beard.
Oh, have you been putting stuff on it?
No, I've been putting my hands on it. I've been scratching.
Stop doing that. Stop scratching and just slather moisturizer on it.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to peel my skin off.
I would use, because I'm into skincare for those who don't know. use a toner or a witch hazel, which will kind of calm your pores, and then slather on moisturizer.
Okay.
But I didn't know. I was like, wait, why do you look different? But I couldn't figure out what it was.
Why is this guy looking insane?
Your beard is black, not.
Oh, so anyways. We're going to get the football portion of the show out of the way right now. I guess there's a weekend between the Super Bowl and the game that the Bengals won last week. Sophie, are you going to come to Los Angeles for the Super Bowl?
I am so sad. It's just like not going to work out. First of all, Super Bowl tickets, the cheapest ones are $7,000.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
And?
I
thought you were a Bengals fan.
That's usually pocket change for me. I know. But yeah, it's just like, it's just going to be a schlep and just not going to work out timing wise, just because I have like so much.
So where are you going to watch it from next week?
Oh, we're going to like a Super Bowl party in the city, but I'm really sad because it would have been even just not go to the game, just to see you and see my friends that are out there and like celebrate with Bengals country, do like a tailgate with Bengals fans.
Really wish you would let me know earlier. I paid $7,000 for a ticket and you're not even going to be there.
You just got it for yourself and you're like,
well, I thought you were taken care of. So like,
I know. I'm sorry. I'm like really annoyed about it because I got so excited that I was telling all of my LA friends. I was like, I'm going to come, I'm going to figure it out. And it's just like not going to happen. But
also you guys, she's still tweeting about it nonstop. She's like, she tweeted this thing about the Joe Burrow that she's in love with. She's like, it all started with a smile. It's a picture of Joe. I'm like,
smile.
There's gotta be a restraining
order. But isn't it funny that like finally the rest of the world is catching on? Like I've been obsessed with Joe Burrow and I'm glad that people know that about me, that I'm not like a bandwagon Joe Burrow, like, you know, horny person. Like I've been horny for him.
So you guys will wish we got a positive thoughts for the Bengals. I know this isn't a sports show, but it's pop culture. But I do want to talk about 2/2/22. What does that mean to you?
Kylie Jenner's baby was born.
Boom! Kylie Jenner just announced 10 minutes ago via Instagram that her baby, her son, has been birthed. Like 2/2/22, if this is meant to be believed, of course, Kylie would wait until 2/2/22.
I know. Right. And also Stormy's birthday like yesterday, or it's maybe tomorrow. It's like Stormy's birthday is like, right.
It was Super Bowl Sunday that we got the pregnancy. And then she dropped that YouTube video. Remember? It was like that 20-minute YouTube video of like how she had hidden the pregnancy the whole time.
Yeah, but that would have been interesting if this baby had the same birthday as Stormy, like Mason and Rain do.
But I hate that I even think that of like, of course, they probably had a meeting where they're like, Kylie, what day would you like to give birth? And she's like, I love 2/22. And she's like, oh, they're like, okay, let's make that happen. But this is a part of a larger conversation here, folks. And I'm just going to I've thought about this so much this weekend, and I'm infuriated with myself because I should not be thinking about this man or this woman or anything. But my thought was like, did they release this photo to combat all the shit Kanye West has posted this weekend in regards to North and TikTok and Kim saying that Kanye put a hit out on Kim Kardashian? It has been a mess, which, by the way, in the last 2 hours, Kanye has deleted all of those really horrible posts off of Instagram that he has been put the last day and a half. So those are now gone. And then we get the Kylie photo. And I hate just that it is the Kardashians. So you're like, oh my God, is Chris like, we got to move now. Kylie, post it now. We need good.
Move out.
Yeah. This is what we planned for, folks. Go.
But it is interesting also because it's the 6th that we're recording on right now. So the baby was born. It looks like it was a boy because she did a little.
Yeah, she said it was a boy. Yeah.
So that was 4 days ago. And you know what we talk about how people will post news on Fridays because it gets lost in the cycle of like the weekend.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday night. You know, this is the perfect time. Every outlet has the entire week to just obsess over this all week. So yeah, it makes sense that she would do it on, you know, today.
Well, congratulations, Kylie and Travis, and I'm sure this baby is going to have an amazing life. So congrats. But I do want to talk about, and I want to preface this with saying, I re-listened to the Life of Pablo album this weekend by Kanye West. And I want to say how beautiful that album is and how amazing and really sonically just beautiful, beautiful production. Really, really blew me away again. But I also want to say I am so fucking annoyed at Kanye West right now. Yeah. And I have been for a long time. And I'm saying this also with full knowledge that Kim Kardashian is as annoying as hell too, but it's a different thing. Now, Kanye definitely has a leg to stand on in regards to he doesn't want North, a 9-year-old girl, to be on TikTok. That's a thing that you guys all deal with your kids, right? It's something very common. But at the same time, you guys, he's full of shit, because truly what is very embarrassing is that North's own father has no clue how to use social media and is so damaging, not just to Kim, her mom, but to North. Kanye now in the last couple of years has let us know publicly that North was almost aborted in his speech where he was ranting and crying, which is, I would say, damaging more than any other thing could ever be damaging once North finds that out.
Right.
But so it's been this, what is your, because Kim posted on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I'll read that in a sec.
What is your thoughts on all this before I read the actual stuff?
Yeah, I'm glad that Kim finally said something. And because I feel like she's been kind of taking the high road in general with all of like Kanye shenanigans. But she finally said something, and I'm glad, you know, she stood up for herself. And I think, you know, Kanye married into a family that is all about overexposure and, keeping your name in the headlines and being entertainers, quote unquote. Like, yes, North has been raised in that environment. That is the family that you married into, Kanye. So I don't think it's that, you know, wild that she wants to experiment with TikTok. And like, I think it's way crazier, his social media, you know, behavior, obviously.
Well, listen,
way more damaging than anything North has done.
I gotta say, like, Kanye said in one Instagram post that he was he was asked to be drug tested after Chicago's birthday party a couple of weeks ago. The fact that I even know this much stuff about this family is so disconcerting.
Yeah.
But by the way, like I've said many times on this pod, like, if I saw Kanye's behavior, I would want to drug test him as well. And right. I'm so like, just if kids were involved, are we supposed to have North go and hang out with you and Julia Fox with your little, and her little friends with their little baby Birkins? You think that's a great environment?
Birkins and like their little like pleather outfits hanging out in a supply closet.
Wait, where are you at in the Julia Fox fandom this week? Cause last week you said you're digging her thing.
Okay, wait, but also pause. I just want to say that I feel really, you know, my heart goes out to the West children because they are, you know, the biggest victims in this scenario. And I, you know, I feel sad that they have to go through all of this publicly and that they're going to see
how
all
would they possibly, eventually. How are they possibly going to be okay? Like, I mean, it's just it's already almost impossible to provide an environment in which Kanye was able to grow up in with his mom,
right,
and which Kim was able to grow up kind of. I mean, they started around pretty early, but still, we didn't all know about the Kardashians until Kim was like 14 or 15, I believe, except for Robert Kardashian.
But they didn't become famous until Kim, I think, was like 27.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it was a little earlier than that because she was Paris Hilton's.
When she was Paris Hilton's, like, she was like a socialite, like in the scene, but she wasn't. They didn't get their show, I think, until Kim was 27, which obviously made them, you know, launch them into the stratosphere. I think it was around then. So yeah, Courtney and Kim, more than anyone, grew up for the most part with like semi-normal childhoods, probably. But it's just,
but these kids have this up. The deck stacked against them at this point, exactly. Because it's, you know, and listen, you can badmouth Kim all day. I totally get it. But I will say, Kim, at least from my outside perspective, seems like at least trying to be somewhat of a stable parent, at least trying to, like, say, you know, I'm going to read you Kim's statement after. So Kanye wrote on Friday, I think, since this is my first divorce, I need to know what I should do about my daughter being put on TikTok against my will. He captioned the post and put that on Instagram. So Kanye's new Twitter is Instagram, where he used to tweet all the time. It's like he's really warming up to Instagram all of a sudden. So this is Kim's statement back. Kanye's constant attacks on me in interviews and on social media is actually more hurtful than any TikTok North might create. As the parent who is the main provider and caregiver for our children, I am doing my best to protect our daughter while also allowing her to express her creativity in the medium that she wishes with adult supervision, because it brings her happiness. Divorce is difficult enough on our children, and Kanye's obsession with trying to control and manipulate our situation so negatively and publicly is only causing further pain for all. From the beginning, I have wanted nothing but a healthy and supportive co-parenting relationship because it is what is best for our children, and it saddens me that Kanye continues to make it impossible every step of the way. I wish to handle all matters regarding our children privately, and hopefully he can finally respond to the third attorney he has had in this last year to resolve any issues amicably.
Yeah,
it's a pretty well-written statement, I think.
Yeah, I think it was very, you know, it got the point. And like I said, like, I agree with her that Kanye's behavior on social media is way worse than anything, you know, North is doing. Like, what, why does he think that he can, like, that he's the arbiter of, like, what is okay to do on social media or what is okay to do when it comes to parenting? Like, I just think it's ridiculous. And he's been, yeah, exactly, traipsing around with Julia Fox and co.
Which is like his lifestyle is erratic. I mean, what he wants, like, right. We've known Kanye is one of those guys that just burns himself out. He's traveling nonstop from country to country. In the last 3 weeks, he's been everywhere. And then, like, I get that he wants to love his kids, but from what I've heard, I mean, and like I said, take everything with a grain of salt, he is a wildly inconsistent parent. He is a wildly inconsistent parent, and he seems like he has these meltdowns on this kind of global platform, which I sympathize because he keeps saying, oh, well, you know, he's up against the Kardashian machine, but Kanye is his own machine. And it just is starting to ring so false in my eyes, because if you're trying to protect the kids, you're doing something that is so not protective of the kids. And anyway, it's like his own damn ego is the thing that's hurt, not. And by the way, I've seen North's TikToks. They're fine. They're not. I mean, you can tell Nick, you can tell North loves to do this. And guess what? She's Kanye's daughter. Of course she loves to do something creative.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I like what Kim said. Like, I let my 9-year-old daughter express her creativity via the medium that she chooses. Like, what is wrong with that?
But it's a hard issue because I get it. My niece and nephew are not allowed on Instagram or so. And I get that.
But
she's a different kind of child. She's a different child as well. Yeah. So you've got to, like, make some allowances. And I do think there are outlets for kids. And if you do want to bring divorce into it, I mean, I do think this helps in those situations, especially when, like, her dad, like, if North wanted her dad, her dad's in like 80 different places at once. Right. I mean, I think watching, like, if North got to actually be on the computer and see her dad traipsing away, giving out little baby Birkins to Julia Fox's friends, I can't imagine that would create a, like, cause North thinks of Kanye as her dad, not of like a musical genius.
Right. And I mean, I think Kim also, you know, I like that she also said with adult supervision, like it's, that's important. You know, yeah. Like I trust that Kim is, you know, I mean, I wouldn't trust Kim with a lot of things. But I do trust her as a mom.
Yes, I do too.
And so, yeah, I absolutely think that Kanye is in the wrong here.
But I just find it so, like, guys, at the end of the day, this is really truly what I think. It's, if Kim was not dating Pete Davidson, you wouldn't be seeing this play out like this. Like, I truly think this is what got Kanye's goat. Like, he can't drop it. We've seen
the straw that broke the.
Well, he fixates on it. Yeah, exactly. He fixates on this, you guys. He fixates. And I'm not even talking about mental illness here. I'm not talking about mental health. I mean, like, Kanye's decided to do what Kanye does. But what I'm saying is that this is now, you've kind of got to divorce yourself from like worry about Kanye. It's like, this is not good for the mental health of his family and his children.
Right.
And it's got to be really,
he's not just harming himself. He's harming, you know, his children.
Well, I thought this so much. It's like, you see Kanye and these, like, you know, he's documented so much of his life. You see it with all of these yes people around him. Like, Kanye, you a genius. Oh my God, you a genius. And then we have people like Candace Owens going like, Kanye, I agree with you on this TikTok issue. Kim is very much in the wrong here. And it's like, he has so many yes people around him that it scares me that I don't know if Kanye ever realizes that he's wrong. Like, that's a dangerous place to live at, right?
I mean, yeah, like, he definitely doesn't think he's ever wrong. Obviously not. Like, that is, you know, Kanye is probably one of the most prominent examples of like a classic narcissist that we have in our society right now. He has a God complex. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, no, he's never wrong. Obviously,
one of his songs is "I Am a God." You know,
yeah, and he literally thinks he's a God. Like, he has a God complex more than anyone we've seen. So yeah, he is never wrong in his
eyes. I mean, I know this is like,
and that would be an exhausting person to be married to.
Sylvie, that's so great. Cause that's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, guys, everybody wonders, like, I bet Kim really does fucking love to be with Pete Davidson because he's still kind of famous and it's like way chiller than Kanye. Like, Kanye's that person that's like, you're trying to fall asleep at 4 a.m. and he keeps talking.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine. And I know, I think Kim and Kanye lived in separate houses at the end.
Yes.
Of the
year, that is true. Yes.
For a while.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I would move out too.
When I think that must be very attractive to have the thought of Kim is, and Kim doesn't have to be, but Kim is not at Kanye's level in terms of artistry. Kim is a great businesswoman. She works really hard, but it's just different. So of course, Kim does not want Kanye any longer. Like, I mean, like, and why would you at this point ever? And I think Kanye thinks of it as some kind of these grand terms of star-crossed love. But at the same time, it's basically his bruised ego because he can't get her back. And some things you cannot change, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure his ego is bruised.
But also, damn me for even still caring about this shit. It's just so frustrating.
I know. It's always something. I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I'm like just exhausted by them.
Yeah.
They're exhausting. And now we're getting like the emotional baggage. Like, they're like trauma dumping on us.
Yeah. Like trauma. Well, it's like, I'm sitting there on my toilet worrying about Kanye. What about Ryan?
I'm trying to take a dump and you're getting trauma dumped on.
You're giving me stomach problems. My face is on fire from this damn beer dye. Right. And I have to worry. Well, trigger warning though, too, is that like in my head, I'm like, eventually, if Kanye doesn't find a way to live with himself, it is going to eventually get to a self-harm place. I truly believe this, because how can you think you are this important and just with proven mental episodes that he has, I just get really scared that he does not have that stability anywhere in his life. And then today, you guys, on the Instagram post today, he brings up how his mom kept him from his father, and this narrative of men being bad fathers, of like, he's really going for the men are you know, men are hurt out there, you guys, you know, women have hurt men and kept men down for ages. But I'm like, what the fuck, man? You're naming your album Donda and it's all about your mom. And now like, this is, you're going to paint, you're going to shit stain her legacy all of a sudden in an Instagram post.
Right. It makes no sense. Absolutely no sense.
Guys, Rihanna's pregnant. That's good news, right?
Oh yeah, that too. Won't someone think of the men out there?
I mean, it is so funny of like, finally, because you know, half of the idiots out there are like, yeah, I'm a man. Thank you, Kanye.
There is a conversation to be had about the way that, you know, like some fathers don't get the same rights that mothers do, but that does not apply here. But anyway, on to Rihanna. Yes, Rihanna is pregnant. We had been hearing this for a while.
Oh, I've been praying for it nonstop and for the last year.
On it. I know. That is going to be like the most stunning child to ever exist,
But I also thought of it was just nice to have, like, that we all kind of agree on this, that we were all I think we were all happy. It's like with any kind of pop culture thing lately, you have for and against. And I didn't really hear anybody like, fuck Rihanna.
You know what it is about Rihanna? She is so easy to love and to root for because not only is she like super talented, such a smart businesswoman, so successful, even though she didn't come from very much, she is also like philanthropic and just is apparently the kindest person in real life. I know that we've may have talked about this before where you may have heard like a bad story or two about her. I have like never heard a bad story about Rihanna or people meeting Rihanna ever. Like she is apparently the sweetest person in real life.
Listen, she watches all the Bravo shows we love.
Yeah, she watches all the Bravo shows.
She follows the Bravo stars.
I wanted to like smoke weed and watch Bravo with Rihanna.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Here's the deal, you guys. If I ever got to interview Rihanna, I'm not going to ask her about her music. I'm going to ask her about like Real Housewives of Salt Lake.
And she follows Mary. She follows Danielle from Summer House. I want to know like the method to her madness of like she only chooses like some to follow.
Yes.
Like, I want to get into that with her.
No, because she feel like I love it when I like the same housewives that Rihanna likes. It makes me feel good about myself.
Which
says more about me than you need.
But she loves Leah.
Which is,
that's kind of a knock on Rihanna, but I'll look at it.
Leah McSweeney's new book, Chaos Theory, comes out soon. And I will say this for Leah. I said this on the Patreon. I'll say this here. Leah followed me over Christmas. And I will say I talked a couple things. I think I mentioned something about I switched SSRI from Lexapro to Prozac, and Leah reached out to me about that and just checking in, and then she checked in on me a couple of weeks later. So
that is so sweet.
And I will say I love, you guys know I love Leah in the first season, did not like her on the second season at all, but I will say that shocked me. And I will say and by the way, so many of you guys are so nice to me in regards to all of that stuff, but I was kind of blown away that she even remembered to ask.
That is so sweet. And as someone who is on SSRIs also, I love the conversations around them. I love destigmatizing them. There's nothing wrong with taking SSRIs.
Oh, I mean, no, totally. And I mean, the goal is to have, the goal is to be able to help yourself in life so you can actually live a full life, you know, and these are those things that kind of give you an added edge potentially. And sometimes it's really rough, either coming off of something or trying to get yourself onto something and recognizing how your body or your brain feels. And it's really scary as you get older because you want to feel good. That's the reason why you try any of these things, because you do care about yourself in some way, which is not bad to ever admit. It's like the gym. You go to the gym, everybody wants to make their body look good. Why don't we make our minds look somewhat good, you know?
Right. And I mean, some of us just have like a baseline level of anxiety that's higher than most.
Yes.
I am an anxious person. I come from a family of very anxious people. I think that Jewish anxiety is a very, it's a very real stereotype. It's real. And my SSRIs just helped me function and be like, I'm on Effexor/venlafaxine, which I love. I've been on it for years. And it just helps me function and be like a more relaxed, chill, less anxious person.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was like once my divorce happened and my separation, it was just, I would, my mind always kind of goes towards the negative or the glass half empty kind of vibe. And yeah. With the divorce, especially, it just got overwhelming in that I couldn't break my mind of like thought patterns. So like one thought could take me down because I would spin out on the one thought, like a wheel. And I remember starting Lexapro for the first time. It really helped break up that thought pattern where I'd still have the negative thought, but I wouldn't spin out on it for a long time. And that was such a difference for me in that time period. But anyways, do you think it's all right if I ask Leah for a nude now? Like if she's like, how's that Prozac going? Like, cool. Do you have a nude I could have?
Didn't you guys? No, you didn't match with her. You matched with Brandy.
Brandy Glanville. Yeah.
Yes. Brandy Glanville. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Which speaking of love, Lala Kent is trying to find love again. I don't know if you read this. Lala Kent says she is dating a man built like Superman. And I was pointed out the gentleman that we think it is. And he rides motorcycles and he really is. He looks like twice the size as Randall, but like all muscle. Like the guy has a very distinct chin. He has a chin. So that's huge.
Send it to me, please.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Send it to me. Send it.
Okay.
Wait, she is brand new.
She's brand new. But like, it is so funny to think because she's like talking about having sex again and things like But also just the fact of like, and no offense to Randall, I'm sure Randall lays it down in the bedroom, but can you, I mean, just like you see a picture of this guy and you're like, damn, like that is going to be, it's just got to be apples and oranges.
Okay. Yeah. I got to see this dude. Okay, but I did see that she was like alluding to the fact that she had some new man. But yeah, I guess.
But like, I don't want to sit there and think about Randall does. Yeah, good for her, I guess. Randall,
you want to get popped?
You want to get? okay, so Summer House this week. What did you think of Summer House?
Wait, what happened on? Oh, Craig.
Yes. Yeah, so Craig, we got the Craig gaslighting page.
A freaking douche. That's what I've been saying about these Southern Charm dudes. Get them off my screen. They suck.
But see, most people love Craig. I even loved Craig until I was like,
after this episode, people are like, wait, Craig is the same piece of shit, gaslighting piece of shit. He has been on Southern Charm.
But isn't it funny though? Like, I kind of do like Paige in the sense that she makes me laugh, but I will say for somebody that's like girl boss, all this stuff, we saw really quickly who wears the pants in that relationship. Oh, did you see how quick Paige ran? Like after the girls are like, he just gaslit you within an inch of his life. She's like, I know. And then she's like, Craig. And she runs to him. She runs to Craig.
And also like, I feel like the fact that he hooked up with Kristen Cavallari was probably like a turn on for Paige. Like she probably liked that.
Well, imagine it. I mean, Paige probably grew up watching The Hills. That must be intimidating for her, but also it must be like, wow, I'm sharing the same dick with somebody.
I'm sharing the same dick with K-Cav. But yeah, so Kristen denied it, but I was reading, I can't remember where I read it, but like all the tea that's been going around about this, because that was a big, it left on a cliffhanger, but apparently they definitely did hook up and Kristen was like, you just can't tell anyone, obviously. And Craig, you know, on the show, just.
And then Kristen Cavallari came out and goes, it didn't happen, which I'm like, okay, Kristen. Okay.
Yeah. Like sure. Kristen.
Yeah.
Sure,
you're
everyone thought it was Austin that she was.
I thought it was totally Austin too.
Because, you know why? Because Madison!
Madison! No, these girls fell on my dick, Madison. No. What are you talking about?
Because of Madison and Jay Cutler. So everyone was like, oh, they swapped. But now, you know, in hindsight, it totally makes sense that it was.
You know what it is? We should call it the.
And she DM'd him, apparently. Like, she slid into his DMs.
It's like got to be like the Southern Charm extended universe or something. Because we also then get A-Rod, J-Lo, Ben Affleck. Everybody is tied into this one pop culture occurrence that all started with Kristen Cavallari on Austin's shoulders on Justin Anderson's Live. And we were all like, what the hell? And that started my real hatred of Austin. Cause I was like, what is going on? Like, when did we just cause like he's tall, we're just like celebrating at like mediocrity all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, of course.
But also, did you catch that line Craig said to Paige in that conversation at the very end of, she's like, so Kristen Cavallari, and he goes, yeah, Austin was livid. Austin was livid. I hooked up with her. He wanted to. And she's like, I wasn't asking that, Craig. I was asking. And she's like, Oh yeah. But I love the fact that Austin was
talking shit about Austin. He was talking shit about Lindsay. Like, who do you think you are, Craig? Like, fine, talk shit about Austin, but that's also your best friend. Like,
that moment kind of shocked me because I wouldn't necessarily call me a Craig stan, but I've kind of like, I kind of liked Craig's vibe.
You've been a Craig apologist.
I admit it. And this kind of like goes, oh, gross. Like, you literally just threw everybody under the bus to try to get your way. And he was like, I wouldn't have come here if it was going to be like this. Then don't come here. You saw his like,
little, don't come. No one wants you, Craig.
His little quirky smile when he walked into the house, knowing like, hey, I'm going to be on TV again. Different show too. He's showing up to Giggly Squad podcast live shows.
Oh, cringe. They're like on tour. It's so cringe.
But wait, why isn't Hannah, why isn't Dez like showing up to these things?
Dez might be on his own tour. Dez is filming his Netflix special. I heard
is he really?
Che Diaz is opening.
Dude, Che Diaz. I know a buddy that is working on Che Diaz's new pilot.
And?
Che Diaz, there's like a thing called craft service, you guys, where you can go and get like snacks and stuff. Che Diaz got caught finger blasting two guys and two girls at the craft service tray, and like a lot of the other cast member, which included Tony Danza, right? Saw it
next to the sub sandwiches.
Yes, that's the other thing too. It's like a health violation. They could have shut that whole set down. It's called what is it called? What's their Play It As It Chays is the new sitcom title.
Chase your dreams.
Yeah. Joe Nord, Che it forward. We're of course
be it as it Che.
Yeah, we're of course talking about the titular character Che Diaz from And Just Like That, the Sex and the City spinoff, which we had our final episode this week, the 10th episode. Did you watch the documentary on the making of And Just Like That? They have an hour and a half documentary on HBO Max. Yeah, nobody really knows about it.
I didn't know that existed. I'm going to go. Them and the Olympics advertising teams have been very much slacking because I didn't even know the Olympics were on.
Oh, I found out the hard way last night. It was on TV. I don't know.
No one told me.
Dude, when I was a kid, the Olympics used to be such a big deal. And now it just seems like it's something that's on TV every 4 years.
Also, I think it has to do with the fact that it's COVID. In China, which a lot of people are boycotting China. A lot of journalists and media people from different countries. So that, and the fact they have not advertised it. And the freaking other Olympics were just on 5 minutes ago, the summer ones that got postponed.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, no one cares. It's like really weird because I used to be obsessed with them too.
But I was wondering, when I was a kid, was I so obsessed because it was like pre-internet kind of for me?
Yeah, it's like we have nothing else to do.
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Guys, we'll be back to the show in just 1 second, but now is the time for my favorite part of the show, when we talk about our sponsors, and we have two great ones today, and I love these two because they kind of fit hand in hand for me. Our first one is my favorite multivitamin company, and that is Ritual. So I primarily, believe it or not, have a female audience. I take the male Ritual multivitamin, but I want to tell you a little bit about the female essential multivitamin through Ritual. So they say gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. Over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. Now, Ritual's essential for women 18 plus multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. So it's formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. Ritual doesn't stop there, though. They invest in a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin. The results? Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43%, wow, and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. The clinical study was published in leading scientific journal Frontiers in Nutrition. I do not subscribe to that, but it sounds like a great magazine. A published clinical study is a big deal and a serious commitment to a first-of-its-kind standard in the industry. Ritual is committed to third-party testing from USP and the non-GMO project, traceable and vegan-friendly ingredients, and always clear communication. There is no shady stuff, and that is why I feel comfortable telling you about it, because I actually do take this every day, and I like it. It actually, you know what, though? It's, you know, back when I was a kid, I wanted to take those Flintstone vitamins, and I love that I take a Ritual vitamin every day, and I feel like a grown-up. I'm like, I've surpassed Flintstone vitamins, you guys. I am a Ritual vitamin guy now. So this is my call to action with you. Right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Now, remember what I just said. You can see a change in just 3 months of doing this. That's something to definitely worth exploring. So visit ritual.com/sobad and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/sobad. So that's great. And so that is about our overall health, right? Our body. But what about our mind? And this is where that next sponsor comes in. And our next sponsor is our friends at BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We talk about BetterHelp a lot on this show, and this month we're discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. I talk to you guys about this on my show so often because this has really turned into a cause that I passionately care about, not just for myself, but for others around me, like you guys. We've been taught that mental health shouldn't be a part of normal life, and that is so, so wrong, you guys. We take care of our bodies with the gym. I mean, maybe I don't, but the doctor and nutrition, but we should be focusing on our minds just as much. This is so personal to me because it's something that at one point when I was younger, I was against. I thought I could fix myself. I thought I didn't need anybody else. I thought I could figure everything out. And the people at BetterHelp or anywhere, they're there because they can help. They want to help. We should be exercising our feelings, our minds, our emotions just as much as our muscles. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. So this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and So Bad It's Good listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/sobad. That's BetterHelp.com/sobad. And I will put that in the show notes as well. And now, you guys, back for the remaining portion of our show.
Yeah, it was like, I remember it being a big deal, like a really big deal. And now it kind of makes me sad.
There was nothing else to do. Like, now we can literally watch anything we want at any moment. Like, before it was like, you could only watch what was on, really.
Yeah.
Or, you know, okay, so, and just like that was interesting. I also want to talk about Tom and Pammy. Did you watch it yet?
Yeah, Tom and Pam, Pam and Tommy. It's on Hulu. It's a Hulu limited series with Seth Rogen, Lily James, and Sebastian Stan. And the first three episodes are out there on Hulu right now, you guys. And there's like a whole talking dog, like Tommy Lee's penis talks. It's like a character. And I liked it. I didn't love it, but I'm really excited to see where it goes. It's eight episodes, I guess. I've seen three of them so far, and a lot of people really love it. I just kind of like it so far, but I'm going to watch every episode. I'm a big Seth Rogen fan. And I remember being around that time, but it is funny to watch something like this. And you just realize that Pam and Tommy themselves, they really are more of symbols than their actual, like, you know, Tommy Lee's painted as a real douche in
this. Oh my God. He looks like such a douchebag in this. And apparently neither of them wanted this. It was like an unauthorized show.
But wait, what do you think of it?
I think it's pretty good. I'm like into it because I didn't really know the story behind how the sex tape. I was like too young to really even like hear. This wasn't even like on my radar because I was like 3 years old. But I'm so young. Oh my God. I'm such a baby. But I think that it's crazy how much they look like them. Like the makeup team on that show killed it. They're going to sweep the Emmys along with Che Diaz's pilot.
I read a whole article about the prosthetics they use for Lily James's boobs.
Oh yeah, the boobs. I was like, oh my God,
It's like, I shit you not, you guys. It's a new prosthetic that is like supposed to, you know, make the boob lie perfectly, like a real boob move perfectly. And you get to see full nude shots in this. For all my fellows out there. And it was, it's really good. Seth Rogen, it's hard because he's, I don't know. There's like a disconnect for me somewhere. I don't know why, but I'm excited to watch the last five episodes and see if it kind of, I don't know. I think it's also, it's really disorienting for me now to like having lived through these pop culture experiences. And I'm like, fuck, we're at the place where we're making movies of these things. Like it almost bums me out. Cause I'm like, we're at this point in my life where we're talking about things that I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I remember that Pam Anderson nude video like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Did you watch it when it came out?
Of course. I'm an American. I had to watch it. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, well, I just remember from what I remember about it, it was like on their honeymoon, I think. And there was like a boat trip or Lake Havasu or something. And it kind of, I remember, I think she gave him a blowjob in a car but it was like a couple filming each other. It wasn't pornography. It was like them like celebrating their love. Yeah.
Wait, should we circle back to And Just Like That?
Because yes, we got to circle back. Yeah.
So I thought that the Miranda storyline makes no sense to me because first of all, I was also reading that Brady, I didn't realize they fudged Brady's age because Brady was supposed to be born in 2002. And so he would have been in his 20s already, not graduating high school.
The Brady truthers out there.
So that, okay, well, whatever. Brady being such like a, I wanted to see more like Miranda being a mom to Brady.
According to this show, she's not a mom.
Yeah. So that was just everything about Miranda's storyline was so weird. And the fact that she would, you know, not take this internship. And that meant so much. And then also not be there for Carrie just so she can go out and be with Che. It just doesn't seem like something Miranda would have ever done.
So Che's moving to LA, you guys, to make their pilot because they're like, Hollywood came calling, bitches. I'm making a, which it makes no sense.
California girls.
Yeah, they did like, they sang this, the Beach Boys song, California Girls, and it was just awkward and weird because, but I loved it.
How I just sang the Katy Perry version.
Yeah, no, it's like the Beach Boys version. But then Miranda makes the point of like, you didn't tell me you were leaving. And they were like, I want you to come. They go, I'm a narcissist, but I want you to come with me. That just goes against that character. If you're a narcissist, you would be like, wait here. I'm going to go make my, by the way, pilots take like 2 weeks to film. Che doesn't. And well, how dare you give up on the podcast? Like the podcast, you're in New York. I'm in LA. Is this hard for you to do?
Yeah, no.
Che can call into their call-in radio podcast.
No, but they have to do it in the studio so they can take their live callers.
Yeah. Guys, we're going to take a live caller on this podcast right now.
We're going to take a live call right now. Beep.
Yeah. Hey, Sophie. First time, long time. I wanted to mention, I think Che is very hot, and I would love, I would let Che poke around, and I would be like, Che, do you see anything you like?
Oh my God, what if we have live callers? And I'd be like Andy Cohen. I'd be like Andy and Watch What Happens Live and be like, okay, what's your question?
Oh, I went to Andy's Walk of Fame.
How was that?
Well, a little bit of shamefulness. I got to say, because I went by myself and then I was standing next to this old dude who kept asking like, who's that? Who's that? You know? And,
oh my God.
it was like the ghost of Christmas future. I was like, oh my God, is this me in like 20 years? Just like, but yeah. I've lived in LA almost 20 years. I've never been to a Walk of Fame ceremony. John Mayer was there.
Novak was there.
Oh, so great. He made actually a really good speech. They really love each other. It seems like, and
they're good buddies.
They are good buddies. Ben is the Andy's son is just so damn cute.
Oh my God. He's so cute. Wait, also last thing I'm going to say about, and just like that.
Yeah.
That rock sucks.
That's Charlotte's child.
All the way to your they mitzvah. And you're like, wait, I actually don't know my Torah portion at all. You would never make it that far. And also that is like the most fucked up thing, a Jewish child after your parents plan this amazing party. And then you're like, actually, I don't know my Torah portion because I've been playing video games this whole time. Where was Harry? I don't think Harry would have let this happen.
Dude, Harry was having to wash off that huge dong of his. Like, yeah, it's so hard. The maintenance on that thing is wild, probably.
True.
Well, no, but as you're Jewish, what I've read about the Jewish faith, though, is what's kind of amazing about it is they want you to question everything. So I thought that's where it was. I thought we were going to get this message with Rock of like, of Harry going, I'm proud of you, Rock, because you are questioning things. I want you to continue this tradition. That is what the Jewish people, we question things. We look for knowledge, but it just became this dumb thing where Rock said at the last possible minute.
Yeah,
that
you
they
can't
didn't believe
do,
it.
Yeah. Like, it's fine if that had happened before the Vey Mitzvah. But when you're at the freaking service, ready to go on the Bima. But I did think it was cute how it ended up being Charlotte's bat mitzvah. I thought that was like really cute. But yeah, Rock and sucks. There's no excuse for that. I'm sorry.
I think, so we got the announcement this week that it was picked up for a season 2, which
By the way, that deal
was put into place way before season 1 even started. You know, these people don't sign contracts. Like, if Sarah Jessica was coming back, Sarah Jessica was coming back with a guarantee. But you got to watch the documentary, Sophie, and you guys got to watch it because it shows how much thought and energy is put into this. And at the same time that you can still get it really wrong, but it works on this way that they don't mean it to work. Like, it works as one of the, like, I cannot wait for season 2. I can't, like, and they probably will even find more of their footing, but this was such a weird comedy of errors that it became something more than just a bad show. It became a bad show that was so enjoyable to watch and laugh at.
So bad, it's good.
I mean, truly. And then
how I've described it, because I always make fun of it. And then everyone's like, wait, why do you watch it if you're always making fun of it? And I'm like, it is literally so bad, it's good.
It really is.
The podcast guy, you called it.
Told
so, Harry, Carrie and the podcast guy, but also what happened to the personal trainer?
I don't know. I mean, like, there's so many holes that I just thought I was so comforted that the podcast, they kissed at the very end, because I was scared that that was just another ignored thing and that they were just really sloppy in their storytelling. So maybe that person will come back in season two. Sarah Ramirez, who plays Che Diaz, finally was interviewed in the New York Times this week, responding to the Che Diaz backlash. This is great, you guys. I'm very aware of the hate that exists online. Ramirez identifies as non-binary, told the New York Times. But I have to protect my own mental health and my own artistry. And that's way more important to me because I'm a real human being. I'm really proud of the representation that we've created. We have built a character who is human being, who is imperfect, who's complex, who is not here to be liked, who's not here for anybody's approval. They're here to be themselves. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, and I saw that Sarah Ramirez also like acknowledged the joke and was like, hey, it's Che Diaz on Twitter, which I liked.
They just did that today. But for me, Sophie, I was like, oh, you're weeks too late, Sarah. You play Che Diaz and now you're like, hey guys, I get the joke. But Sarah doesn't get the joke because Sarah commented in the New York Times how hate online. I'm like, it's not just hate online. Like, we're loving it. Like, this is an acceptable form of art if we still love it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I wouldn't say it's hate. I think that people are being, some people are over the top being like, Che Diaz ruined my favorite show. It's like, it's not that deep. Just enjoy it. Laugh at it. Like, yeah.
And the other thing that I found hysterical, but just like that, is the Kim Cattrall Samantha role. Samantha now lives in Carrie's phone.
She texts back right away.
Oh, it's like Jamal and Giselle from Potomac. Like, I love the fact that next season, Samantha will still be a part of the show, but just in the, like, I love that, like, Samantha fully exists. They're just never going to show her. It's all just going to be through text messaging.
Yeah. And the fact that she texts back right away, like,
Samantha's AI at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Literally. Yeah. And I love how she was like, I'm in Paris, want to get a cocktail? And she's like, tomorrow. And now we're just not going to see it.
No. And there was another scene after that. And we didn't even talk about how that went.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just got sent the one guy that Lala is supposedly dating. It's a guy named Josh Stroh.
Oh,
but wow. I thought it was another guy. So I'm going to ask about that,
does not look anything like Rand.
No, this guy has a strong chin.
Strong jawline going on.
Okay. So, and just like that. Great. So apparently that wasn't the guy that I thought. Marissa says, okay, well, so that is supposedly the guy. Tom Sandoval, Charlie Burnett had a birthday party this week in a Euphoria themed birthday party. Tom Sandoval nails the costume of Cal Jacobs. You're watching Euphoria, that. Right? He I dressed up that. As Cal Jacobs from last week's episode when Cal came out to his family drunkenly with a bandage and the family photo, everything, which, by the way, Euphoria also got picked up for season 3. 2 days ago, if you are big Euphoria heads, but I thought that was classic that Sandoval dressed like that. I mean, just
I know, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, but yeah, Euphoria, it's only been how many episodes since Euphoria started this season? And
it's almost over. There's only 8 episodes this season.
Oh, good. Okay, good. There's only so much I can take. It's just it's a mentally taxing show to watch.
It is. That's why it's like so weird that it's on Sunday night. You're like getting ready for the week. And then I always just get like fucking like, oh, like I'm jonesing.
I know. You're jonesing.
Jonesing for some youths. Euphoria.
Jonesing for some youths.
Youths. We've got big Real Housewives of Beverly Hills news. EJ Global, you guys, is in trouble with the California Franchise State Tax Board for not paying taxes. So they are not, for all intents and purposes, shut down.
Good.
As a business. Good. EJ Global is potentially going to be no longer because Erica thought it was all right to not pay taxes.
Yeah, as a scammer would.
Yeah. So they've been suspended by the franchise tax board. In the post by Bravo Snarkside, they said this is the entity that received over $25 million from her husband's former law firm. Erica owns 100% of this entity. It was filed on her joint tax returns with Tom for many years. The California Franchise Tax Board declared this was not a business for profit, but was simply a business where they improperly used it for what are called lifestyle expenses, which in turn gave Erica and Tom improper tax deductions on their joint tax return. Erica signed all of her tax returns with Tom and has publicly said she read her tax returns. She was also represented by counsel at the Federal Tax Bureau tax audit.
What an idiot. She's such a freaking idiot. I'm so glad her whole house of cards is shattering. Even though she like thought she was going to get her little redemption arc, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think, but I don't, I think we're far from rid of Erica Jane.
Oh no, we're not. I mean, the next season that they have already filmed hasn't even, you know, premiered yet. So she's going to be back in our consciousness every single week. But I also saw that apparently a pair of like diamond earrings.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is what we $750,000 earrings. She wore in Aspen last week.
Right. And they were like, huh? Yep. We'll take those. We'll take those for the victims.
I played a clip, Garcelle talking on The Real. I played it on the podcast last Monday. Is that Garcelle and the co-host talked about that and said, she just needs to give them back. Like, it's not about being guilty or innocent. Those were bought by improper money. Give them back. And it's so she did. So they ruled she has to give them back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so annoyed at all the people that are like, but she didn't know. I'm like, it doesn't freaking matter. She's wearing the victim's money, knowing that it belongs to the victims. So, yeah. Orphans and the widows.
So, by the way, Beverly Hills seems to be in full production. And also really, you're seeing a lot of them in costumes lately, a lot of big production pieces. They must be putting a lot of money into this scene from all the costumes I see all these ladies in lately.
Oh God. I'm excited, but I'm just like, Lisa Rinna, go away.
Oh my God. Watch seeing her in person at Andy's. Like, it was chilling. And Garcelle is so beautiful in person, you guys, but Lisa, it's like, it's like somebody that's like frozen. It is so Hollywood seeing her. Like, oh, I'm just
thinking about it.
Oh, so weird. And just this, I don't know, but also I'd like to congratulate a reality show called Big Brother. Big Brother on CBS. They did something so amazing, and they really gauged the temperature of the nation in that they kicked Freddie Mellencamp off of the show. Like, she was the first one to get kicked off. Freddie Mellencamp went on to Big Brother, you guys, and Freddie got kicked off immediately at the first dismissal. Maritza has been trying to explain Big Brother to me and how it works, but she said that she was too much of a threat, I guess. So she says, it's a compliment. I was kicked off first because they saw that I was such a big threat, which is, I love the things that we tell ourselves to get by. Yeah.
I know. It's like, if that's what helps you sleep at night, Freddie.
Yeah.
But wait, how does Big Brother work again? They vote each other. They vote someone off.
Yeah. Like they put, I think they're up on the block and it's like between two people and they vote, you know, one of them off.
Is this a different one than Lamar Odom is on?
No, you guys, which is my next story. Lamar Odom is on this same Big Brother.
Didn't he shit his bed?
Lamar Odom did shit his bed overnight at the Big Brother house. And
like on accident, or did he like squat?
No, it was on accident. He had shit his pants and he had to shower off and clean up. And he said he had a nervous stomach. And
that's sad.
Yeah, it really is. It really is sad. Like, and he thought Chloe was going to be in the Big Brother house. And he said that was one of the reasons he took it, which I'm like, dude, are you okay, Chloe? Chloe's not going to be in the Big Brother house, dude.
Can you imagine if
I would have loved? Yeah, no, it'd been amazing, but
that would have been the funniest career move of all time.
But that
would never happen because they will never go on another show where they can't control the filters.
No, not at all. Yeah, and Chloe doesn't need the money. Chloe doesn't need the hassle. Chloe doesn't want to, you know, like there's just no way that ever that will happen, but it would have been fun. Let's see. Kathy Hilton, you guys, and back to Real Houses of Beverly Hills, Kathy Hilton posted late night one night to Rick, her husband, of like, get me out of here. It's crazy here, on, because she communicates over Instagram. She clarified on an IG live saying she didn't yell at any of the staff like it was rumored. Kyle doesn't even have a staff. She was commenting on Rick's post on Instagram because he's always on his iPad and she knew he would see it. She said there was fighting in the house, but it wasn't because of her. If everybody, yeah, you know, that's just, you know, got it.
Yeah.
As we start winding down here, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City had another batshit crazy episode last week. What was your feelings on it? Were you, any thoughts?
Wait, what happened again? It was a week ago. Mary,
remember Meredith, remember it's the hot mic moment. Lisa Barlow was like, she's a fucking whore. She slept with half of New York. Lisa Barlow's hot mic moment.
Yes, the hot mic moment was so epic. So epic. And you know that Lisa and Meredith right now, and it's funny because Meredith has been kind of like saying cryptic things, and she was the one on Watch What Happens Live last week.
Yeah.
And Lisa has not reacted to Meredith at all, but it's very clear that they're no longer friends.
Yeah. At this point,
Lisa has ruined all of her friendships with all of these people that she's brought on the show.
I was looking at the Instagram statistics of all these ladies. I'm shocked that Lisa Barlow is as low as she is, but it really does make you, for the greater public, it seems like Lisa Barlow is an acquired taste to some people.
I love Lisa Barlow.
I do, but in a batshit way. Like, I love her in that she does react that viciously. And by the way, Meredith Marks is coming off as super kooky.
That's for sure. Like, Meredith is like on something, like definitely on something.
Love you, baby.
Lisa, I love because she's like, she thinks she's in on the joke, but she's like not that much. Like, everyone is kind of laughing at her all the time because she's like so unintentionally funny. I think the key to a good housewife, honestly, is being like unintentionally funny. And I think that's why, despite the hate that she gets, I think Shannon Bedore is such a good housewife because she is so unintentionally hilarious.
Yeah. But it is one of those things where we got to be nearing the end of the season, because I am like, I can't take much. I feel like we've been in this season for like years now, because it has been so weird and so many different directions. And then this week, you guys, we had supposedly an official word that Mary Cosby is definitely not coming back for season 3, which then Mary Cosby on Twitter goes, this is not true. What are you talking about?
Did they not tell her?
That's my thought. My thought is,
they decided.
My thought is production decided she's no longer a part of it, and they just haven't fully communicated that to her.
That's so embarrassing. Like, she found out the news through the news, and she didn't know yet. So she's like, Mary being crazy, instead of like taking a hint and being like, oh, I'm actually fired, because production clearly made this decision because it's all over the news and these very official publications. She's like, that's not true. Like, Mary, take a hint.
And I will say with this, this is really stuck in my craw, just because I would say, you know, we were just talking about what an epic hot mic moment that is from Lisa Barlow. And I said this earlier in the week with like Carlos King, the executive producer of Real Housewives of Atlanta and all that, and said, that's not epic. It would have been epic if she did that in Meredith's face. And he's right in a way. But what I want to encourage everybody to do, as much as we love this stuff, let other people love stuff. Let other people love stuff that you might not have loved. Let other people call something epic, even if you didn't think it was epic yourself. It's okay. Everybody can have their own thing.
I mean, like, I think that it was very, you know, the hot mic moment, I thought it was extra dramatic. We see all of these fights where they're saying shit directly to each other's faces, but I thought it was extra dramatic that she is one way to Meredith's face and then behind her back. Like, that is what's interesting about it, is that, you know, their friendship isn't as strong as they try to make it seem like it is on camera.
It was excellent character development.
It was. It was, because you really see how she really feels. And Meredith probably didn't realize that that's how her friend really feels. And Meredith, and I know a lot of people are like, she knew that she had the mic on. I'm like, I don't think she did, because I don't think that Lisa, like I said, I don't think that Lisa like fully real. She has no self-awareness.
I think Lisa was livid, and I don't think she was doing a lot of thinking in that moment.
Right. It sounded like she was saying, it's like that stuff that you say out of anger, when it's like the stuff that you know that you're like sometimes thinking that's brewing, but you would never say out loud because you know it's like horrible. But when someone really pissed, I can think of a specific example of when one of my friends like really pissed me off, and I said like the meanest things to my other friend. And I was like, that was so in the moment. And I was saying the things that I like have been, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I thought it was fascinating. So yeah,
it cracks me up. But it cracks me up that Jen Shah is looking good in this season. Like Jen Shah is like in any other season. Like, it's just hysterical, right? Like Jen Shah is not starting to look smart, but you can make a case that like, wow, Jen really, it was a good idea for her to keep filming, because all these other ladies are looking bad. And like, Jen is like sidestepping half of the drama that's actually going on with her, which is just weird.
Yeah. If Jen hadn't gotten arrested or whatever, I think she, and I mean, her plan probably after season one, because people did not like Jen after season one at all. So she already wasn't a fan favorite. Then she got arrested. But I think that she was already going into season two, trying to kind of change her demeanor to become what she thought would become a fan favorite. And I can tell that she's like, you know, I can tell that she's trying to get the fans on her side. She knows how it works. She wants to be a housewife. She like very much wants to stay a housewife before she goes to prison. So yeah, I can see how she is really playing into like, you know, keeping calm, but also having like, you know, the freak out moments that are good TV, but also like having some good, like humorous, like one-liners. Like I can see what she's trying to do and it's working.
Yeah.
I will say there are moments like when she was like screaming in Meredith's face, I'm like, she's acting. Like I don't doubt that she's angry and full of emotion, but like, I can still feel that she's like acting.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I can just see through Jen. Like I just see through her. Like
I saw her through first season. It was like that thing of like, I would never want, like, even aside from the criminal activity, I would never want somebody to speak with to me like the way that Jen screams at her supposed best friends.
Yeah. No, the way that she speaks to people is like not okay.
But also the people saying that Lisa Barlow Mike was not a good moment, I want to say this, is that I am now on season 3 of Yellowstone, and it is one of the worst shows that I personally have ever seen.
So should I not watch it?
No. I say watch. I can't stop watching, but I will say it's ridiculous. And all of you women that have steered me towards Yellowstone, once again, I want to point out how horny you are. You are so horny for these cowboys, and you failed to mention that that was one of the main reasons, but it's ridiculous. It's hysterical. There's a moment that I just watched in season 3 where this guy, Casey, is having sex with his wife out in the field or whatever for some reason. And then a wolf comes up to them at night, and she's like, oh, Casey, look. And she's like, what do we do? And he's like, and then Casey's like, let the wolf watch if he wants. And I was like, what the hell is going to have a show? I'm like, what is the point of this? That a wolf's a pervert? Like,
okay. I want to watch it now.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, and you guys, like at least 4 people die every episode in this small town. It is the death rate in Yellowstone is off the charts. Like
how are people alive?
Oh, I'm shot. I'm not on the last season yet, but I imagine the last season is only like 3 people in the town.
Okay. I need to watch this show.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Okay. We're going to close out with the one last Kanye thing, because Kim said, I guess Kim accused Kanye, or somebody accused Kanye from Kim's camp, that Kanye had put a hitman out on Kim. Now, that's not from Kim, but somebody from Kim's camp, Kanye said, which take that with a grain of salt. But Kanye also posted a message from one of Kim's cousins reaching out to Kanye over text message and saying, hey, you know, I'm willing to give my thoughts on TikTok. And you see Kanye responding, don't want to talk about it no more. And then this is what the lady kind of talks about, trying to get Yeezys for his son. And
yes, I saw that.
And Kanye said, I don't want to talk about Yeezys no more. And you know, listen, that's the That's the shitty thing about being a celebrity. Like, you're going, like, this is like, it's gotta be, that's gotta be the bad part of celebrity. Like, even like the little success I have people asking me for things. I'm sure you've had people asking you for things, and I'm sure it is a billion times worse when you're Kim and Kanye. But I just thought that was funny, is that he's getting even people hitting up on dramatic situations of, can I get Yeezys?
That actually is so true and so funny. It's like, I'm not, yeah, I don't even have like clout or power really, but
you still get asked for favors, I'm sure.
Yeah. There was, I'm thinking of this one girl that like, I thought wanted to be my friend. Like, she started like we kind of knew each other in the past. But we're never like friends. And then she like started really hitting me up all the time, like wanting to hang out and like wanting to be my friend. And I was like, oh, that's really awesome. She seems cool. Like, I'm honored. And then I realized that it was because she had a podcast that she wanted me to like promote. And I was like, okay, never mind.
And the last thing is Azalea Banks, you guys, Azalea Banks released a statement on her Instagram. Did you read this already?
Oh, wait, no. Okay. I saw people tweeting about her earlier and I was like, I need to see what she's up to, 'cause she definitely is up to something. I need to go look.
So Azalea's had a lot of opinions on Kanye for a long time, but Azalea's friendly with Julia Fox and all of this. So this was a Twitter account named Rap Talk says, it's men's mental health matters until that man is Kanye West, in which case it's whatever makes headlines. Today alone, we've seen that he's not allowed to edit his own documentary, giving him zero control over his own narrative on something about him, then condemnation of his parenting because he doesn't want his 8-year-old daughter on TikTok. Make it make sense. Now, Azalea wrote back to this on Instagram, y'all are making way too many excuses for Kanye. This is the second time he has publicly bullied Northwest. First with the abortion shit and now putting her on blast on his Instagram page as if she is some sort of criminal. Kanye had no problem with that magazine cover where North had on a fucking belly top and purple eyeliner with her little bud showing through the shirt. He thought it was fashion. You all said nothing. Aside from the fact that he's making it his business to try and wreck the mental health of the only person around to care for his children, their mother, while he gallivants the streets with dirty industry interns, druggy slut bags, eating dirty steaks at lay dive bars. And is clearly having rapid opioid heroin come down withdrawal type outbursts. You all want to call it a mental health issue. I have never once seen Kanye have this much smoke for any of his male adversaries. This is pussy ass, deadbeat, abusive black man shit. And all you N-words trying to keep the cycle of plantation style shaming and embarrassing young black children for being kids are what the fuck is wrong with this toxic ass culture. Trying to accuse a mother of kidnapping her own child? Was Chicago supposed to be hanging out with him and Julia's horrible cool sculpting while they get drunk and high so Julia can blow vape pen smoke in Chicago's face? Maybe North is looking for a fun escape because she has to look online and see her dumbass dad always talking shit about her mother. And when Kim won't give him the attention he begs for her, he turns his anger on her by posting her picture to his Instagram, talking about, quote, his will, as if she is a fucking piece of property and not a young black girl just trying to be happy. For fuck's sake, Kanye West is an abusive psychopath. It's beyond mental illness. Stop trying to help him and start trying to help the poor child that he keeps on trying to embarrass and abuse publicly to garner sympathy for his ashy ass. End quote.
A poet.
But wild. Isn't that? I mean, but also she made some points.
Yeah. Made points for sure. Yeah. Very, I mean, kind of similar to what, you know, we were saying earlier.
Yeah. I don't know. So I thought it was important for you guys to hear that because the narrative also is out there. Kanye's right about the TikTok thing. Guess what? Two things can be true at the same time. And also, if you're worried about your child, stop posting your child's picture on your Instagram bashing her mother underneath. And by the way, and I want to also point out, I don't like to stick up for Kim Kardashian, but Kim has not publicly bad-mouthed Kanye.
Yeah, no, she hasn't. She made that statement, and that was kind of the first time that she had, you know, she's been taking the high road this whole
time. The last time she actually made a personal statement about Kanye was after the abortion comment about North, and Kim put out a statement talking about Kanye's mental health and talking about, you know, he is so special and so loved. And that's why I don't like to talk publicly about this. And, you know, she said a lot of you have relatives or you yourself have mental health issues and you know what this is like, you know, and I don't know. So anyways, I'll leave that with you. Anything going on this week besides the Super Bowl? Anything that we need to be
exciting stuff?
Oh, is the Substack happening?
Finally. I'm so sorry, guys. This has been like a crazy, crazy past few weeks, but yes, finally this week I will be launching my Substack. I'm really excited.
Yes. So
this is the last time I'm going to be like, it's coming. This time next week, I'm going to be like, it's here. Sign up for it.
So you guys keep a lookout on my Instagram this week. I will put a swipe up link to her Substack the minute it gets out. And then we will talk about it on the next episode. And yeah, that's it. Thank you so much, Sophie. And thank you guys. I hope you guys have the best week ever. Let me know if I can help. And yeah, just follow Sophie.
Yay.
Yay.
You guys.
Go Bengals.
Hooday, go Bengals!
Betches.